Good morning. Okay, so Wayne, can you stand up, please? I want everybody to look at Wayne. And everybody hold out your hands like this. Flip those thumbs upside down and go boo. Nah, I'm kidding. Actually, Regan, can you stand up too really quickly? Listen, these two do so much for our congregation in so many different ways, and there's so often that these things can... No, y'all stand up. I want to brag on you for just a second. The involvement in the clothes pantry, the things they do on the outskirts of this church that you don't know about, the greeting ministry, the name tags, just all the different things they've put effort into. And I know there's others who have helped in these things, but we just need to give honor where honor is due. So thank you so much for all the work that y'all have done. All right, now you can sit down. Obviously, I didn't tell him I was going to do that, but I had to get back at him just a little bit because he's responsible for my attire this morning. I don't know how many of you have seen my shirt of the Cowboys 1992 Super Bowl champions. So my sermon is called Follow Me to Wisdom. And I felt it was wise to go ahead and make amends with all the Cowboys fans this morning. I walked into my office this week, and there, as I walked in, laid across my chair, perfect so that I could just see this whole shirt laying out there, was this shirt. And I realized, traced it back, it's Wayne who put it there. So Wayne, this is for you this morning. I felt as I'm preaching on wisdom, it's best to start off the season right before we get going. So look, I am praying for all you Cowboys fans this morning. All right, you're in my prayers that you sign Ezekiel Elliott, because I know that you need him, okay? So I'm praying that it all works out the best for you this season, and I'll be praying for Dak Prescott too, okay? So there it is. We can all be friends. Now, I don't know what this is going to look like. There's no promises when they play the Saints. Things could get ugly. But deep down, there is still love for you, and I just want you to know that. So, look... Robert, thank you so much. I don't know where you sit and where you're at, but thank you for your prayer this morning. I love, and I don't know if it was intentional or not, but even in your prayer, praying for wisdom, you know, as we just seek God's wisdom as we head back to school. I think about school. School is always, it's always terrifying, isn't it? Is that too strong of a word? I don't want to scare any of the kids in here. You know, school is terrible and it's terrifying. But I was always scared every year, you know. And I tried to act like I wasn't, you know, like, oh, this is nothing. You know, junior year of high school, man, I got this, whatever. Been there, done that. But inside that first day of school, I always had those nerves. It was always there. I'm thinking about some of the first days of school that I ever had. I remember one in particular. And this was a very long time ago. But the first memory that I have of the first day of school ever for me goes something like this. Again, I don't know if this is how it went, but this is how it was in my mind. I'm on my dad's back. He's got me on his shoulders, actually. And he's carrying me to class, you know, and I'm all excited. Woo, school's going to be great, you know. It was a good morning. They cooked a good breakfast, and I got to wear my favorite clothes and got to put all my fun stuff in my backpack and got a cool-looking lunchbox. I'm ready to go. And then we get to the classroom, and I realize that Dad's dropping me off and leaving. And so things begin to change for me. This now has become code red in my child mind. And I remember being terrified. I start to cry, and I'm like, Dad, no, you can't leave, you can't leave. He's like, no, it's okay, you know, you've got to go. And the way that I remember this going is that I'm holding on at some point to Dad's waist with a death grip. And he's trying to pry me off, but he can't. And so then the teacher grabs my legs and kind of tries to pull. And I remember being dangled over a pit of fire, holding on like this with my feet in my teacher's hands. School is always a terrifying thing. So as school is getting started back, it's not as bad as it seems. I ended up loving it. I'll tell you a little secret. I even got a girlfriend. I had a girlfriend, and we stood in the middle of the classroom. We'd hold hands, but we wouldn't look at each other. Her name was Chelsea Bowie. I don't know if we're streaming online this morning. I know we had internet problems, but if we are, and Chelsea Bowie, if you're watching this, I'm not sure that we ever officially broke up, but I'm married now, so I just needed to let her know that. So it's not always as bad as it seems. But as school's getting started back, it's a big time, and I love that your prayer, Robert, you're talking about, not only is it a time where we pray for the kids who are going to the school, but we're praying for the parents who are trying to survive their kids going to school. We're praying for the parents who are taking the kids to every sporting event in all of creation, and we're praying for parents who are trying to figure out how to keep their kids' faith elevated and growing in the midst of a generation that elevate sports to such a level and activities to such a level and knowledge and learning to such a level that faith gets the back burner, and yet faith to you and your family is supposed to be out in front. And so the battle is real, the struggle is real, and I'm praying for each one of you as you begin this year. And so the question that I'm trying to answer to myself was, as this school year starts back, what do you need to hear? What do we need to talk about as this season begins for all of us? And whether or not you have kids that are going to school, you're around people that have kids that are going to school all the time, this affects everyone this time of year. You have grandkids or great-grandkids that are going to school. It affects us all. And so I was talking with Alan, and one of the things that we decided is that this is a great time of the year to talk about wisdom. It's a great time of the year to talk about wisdom because so many people are talking about wisdom. They're talking about knowledge. They're talking about school and how important it is that we learn these things. And so I want to answer a few questions this morning in our lesson. Our title is Follow Me to Wisdom. But I think we have to start with, what is wisdom in the first place? Right? Like, what is, we use this word wisdom, but do we know what it is? And so to start with, let's start with what it's not. Number one, wisdom is not the same thing as knowledge. Those words are very close together, but they mean two different things. Wisdom and knowledge are completely different. You don't have to have all the knowledge in the world in order to be wise. Okay? They're two separate things. Just because, listen to me, just because, and kids, I hope you're listening. High schoolers, I hope you're listening. Middle schoolers, just because you may be struggling in math class does not mean that you're going to be a failure and not succeed in life. And sometimes it's hard for us in our brains to comprehend that. Because to us, when we see red marks all over our paper, sometimes we begin to feel like we're not good enough. And we feel as if we're not valuable. Or as if we can't do it when everybody else can. And the truth is that your value is not found in your letter grade. Your value is found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Your value is found on the cross of Christ. Your value is not found in the knowledge that you have in being able to win every debate or ace every test or to do all these different things. Your value is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your value is found in the fact that you were made in His image and He handcrafted you and spent time on you. And He loves you, and there's nothing that you can do. You cannot learn every single Bible verse and know every answer to every Bible debate that's out there. You cannot... I'm going to stop there. You can't learn enough to make God love you anymore. And you also can't fail enough tests to make Him love you any less. Your value is not determined by the letter grade. Now, does that mean it's not important? Well, Mom, Nathan said that I don't have to study because God loves me anyway. That's obviously not what I'm saying. But it is such a real thing. And believe it or not, a lot of times, let me give you some facts and statistics, and I hope, youth, that you're listening to this too, okay? Because there are statistics that show that depression in our young people rises as the school year continues. That depression rises, suicide rates rise, things rise because our young people are feeling pressure of performance. I've got to perform in a certain way because if I don't, then everyone's going to be mad at me and tell me that I'm not going to be good enough. And you've got to make sure that you understand that God's love for you and your value as a human being is not found in any letter grade or any school program or any college degree or anything like that. That's not what the gospel is. Because if that was what the gospel was, Do you think Jesus would have chosen 12 uneducated and ordinary men to be his disciples that changed the world? Okay. So listen, there's a balance. There's a balance there. Knowledge and wisdom are both important, but it becomes a major problem when we give too much power to either knowledge or wisdom. Both are vital for our spiritual development. It's important for you to learn. It's important for you to study. It is important that you try your best to make the best grades that you can. I'm not saying those things are not true. Knowledge and wisdom are both valuable. What you must understand is this. Again, your value is not found in those things. Let me tell you more about what wisdom is. I got a couple of definitions. I just took these from the dictionary. All right. So definition of wisdom is this. The ability to discern or judge what is true, right, or lasting. Knowledge is defined, on the other hand, as information that's gained through experience, reasoning, or acquaintance. So knowledge is information, while wisdom is the ability to apply that information. Does that make sense to you? Let me give you some examples. I thought about guns. Knowledge is knowing how to use a gun. Wisdom is the ability to know when you should use it and when you should holster it. Tomatoes. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a what? It's a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in your fruit salad. Knowledge is knowing what to say. Wisdom is knowing whether or not you should say it. Another way that I've heard that is that knowledge speaks and wisdom listens. I like that. Crossing the street, knowledge is knowing that this street is one way, and wisdom is looking both ways anyway. Right? Again, you can overdo anything. You think about Finding Nemo, those of you who have seen Finding Nemo, and you've got Marlin, the dad fish, and Nemo and the little fish, and they're in their sea anemone. Remember that? And Marlin says, okay, son, you go out. He's teaching his son, not knowledge, he's teaching him some wisdom, some life skills. You go out and you look and see if it's dangerous, and then you go back in. And then you go back out, and then you go back in. And then if you just want to do it one more time, and by that point, Nemo's just like, okay, Dad, this is too much, right? There's ways to do things too much. But both are important, but there's a balance between each. Weight loss. This is the big one, right? Knowledge is knowing the most effective diet. Oh, no, this is the one. Wisdom is avoiding the dessert aisle at the store, right? I'm just saying, because they get me every time. Those Starbursts and Starburst jelly beans that come out around Easter time. Oh, man. I can down some of those things. All right, life in general. Knowledge, you've heard this. Knowledge is book smart. Wisdom is street smart. You heard that before? And so there's a difference between the two. Knowledge is knowing the right thing to do. Wisdom is putting that knowledge into action and choosing to do that right thing. There's a phrase that we've learned. Again, for those of you who don't know, my mom is an alcoholic, and so we've gotten to go to a lot of these Alcoholic Anonymous meetings that are around. We actually have one that meets here in the Brick House. It's an excellent program, and it's changed many lives, and it's changed my family's life. But one of the phrases that they use is, do the next right thing. Do the next right thing. And the idea of saying, it just simplifies it to say, okay, you don't have to have your whole life figured out. You just need to focus on doing the next right thing. And I love that idea. That's wisdom. Wisdom is choosing, I'm going to do the next right thing today. That's wisdom. Look at Matthew chapter 7. This is a story that you know. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 24. We used to sing a song about this when we were younger. It's the wise and foolish builders. Matthew 7 and verse 24, it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine. Now, that's knowledge, right? I'm hearing and learning these words. We go to church and we read His Word every week. We memorize verses. We study His Word. We can answer questions on a Bible quiz of naming all the kings of Israel in order. And we get this knowledge, but that knowledge is pointless if you don't apply it through your wisdom. The goal of Scripture is not just that you can memorize Bible facts so you can check off a box. The goal of Scripture is to change your life. And that comes through wisdom and knowledge both working together hand in hand. It's being able to place the right amount of emphasis on knowledge and on wisdom. You see, knowledge is important, but sometimes we put so much focus on knowledge alone. But wisdom is being able to place the right amount of focus on knowledge and say, this is important, but how does this change me? And allowing that information to soak in to change you. Look at this scripture. I love this. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them, what? It's not just those who know my words. It's not just those who have heard my words. It's not just those who go and study. You remember in Acts, you have those philosophers who wanted to sit around and do nothing but learn the next new thing. You remember that? And Paul was condemning them, saying, no, there's more to it. You've got to apply all this knowledge or else it's just useless information. Wisdom turns useless information into life-changing information. There's the key. And so he says, not just those who hear these words, but puts them into practice, and here comes your story. It's like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew, and they beat against the house. And yet, it didn't fall. Why? Because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine, so they both hear, they both know the same information. They both have the same knowledge. But it's whoever hears these words of mine and what? Doesn't practice it. There is the difference between the wise and foolish. They're both knowledgeable, but one's a fool and one's wise. And the difference is that the foolish man knew the same words and heard the same words, yet doesn't put it into practice. He's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains come down and the streams rise and the winds blow and beat against the house and it falls with a great crash. And then when Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. I love that idea. Wisdom, according to Jesus, isn't just hearing his words. It wasn't everyone who hears these words and remembers them best. It wasn't, you know, everyone who knows all the right answers or everyone who tries the hardest. It was everyone who hears these words and puts them into practice. Do the next right thing. That's what Jesus is saying. Do the next right thing. Hear my words, but apply my words. That's what wisdom is. So, here's the question for us then. How do we get it? Where does wisdom come from? And so again, let's start with where it doesn't come from. All right? Wisdom does not come from a classroom, from TV, social media, from the world, and it doesn't come from other people. Now, I'm talking about the source of wisdom. And the reason that I make that point is because some of you are going, wait a second, those things have made me wise before. There's people in my life who have impacted me, and they had great wisdom, and that wisdom has been shared with me. Yes, but where did their wisdom come from? And when you trace back to the source of all godly wisdom comes from who? It comes from God. That's where wisdom comes from. That's where wisdom is established. That's where wisdom is gained. And so when there are people in your life who have impacted you with great godly wisdom, you can trace back in their life somewhere where it was gained from the Word of God. Does that make sense to you? And so wisdom comes from God. This is such an important thing because this is not something that we're taught growing up. You know, you go to school and we're told you have to go to school in order to be successful. And we're told that when we're in middle school, you've got to do well in middle school so that you can do well in high school, so that you can be successful. When you're in high school, you got to do well in high school so that when you go to college, you can be successful. You got to do well in college so you can do well in graduate school. You got to do well in graduate school so that you can get this degree to be successful in your field. But some of the people, and you just tell me from your experience, there's a lot of people that I know that have a whole lot of degrees and letters behind their name, and they turn out not to be very wise. Why is that? Because there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. And a lot of people in our world are very knowledgeable but are very foolish at the same time. And God is calling for us to be wise and not foolish by hearing His words, learning all the things that we learn in our schools, but applying that knowledge through wisdom. Knowledge without wisdom leads to foolishness on display. I feel like a lot of times we're spoon-fed knowledge, but we're not ever told where the source of wisdom is. And so if you're confused and if you're like, man, I don't know, have you ever been in a situation, let me apply this to all of you, have you ever been in a situation in your life where you just wish you knew what the next right thing was? You ever felt lost or confused? You ever felt like you're in a situation and you don't know what the, if you ever heard the what would Jesus do? You know, WWJD, huge movement that happened many years ago. What would Jesus do? And you start to think and you go, I don't know. The question then becomes, how can I find out? And listen, at some level, sometimes you just have to pray and give that situation to God because His wisdom surpasses ours to such a great amount. We just need to trust Him in that moment. But there are times in our life where we could find wisdom, but we don't know the source, which it ultimately comes from God. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Turn there. We got a couple more scriptures we're going to go to this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Start in verse 6. Paul's writing to the Corinthians and he says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age." See, he's saying our wisdom didn't come from worldly human devices. And he says, the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's what? Secret wisdom. Everybody say that. Secret wisdom. One more time. Secret wisdom. Isn't that interesting? Why is it secret? We'll talk about that in a bit. It's a wisdom that has been what? Hidden. You see that? It's been hidden. And that God destined for glory, for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have been crucified, or they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it's written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. If you want to gain wisdom, you don't search for it through earthly means. It doesn't come from a self-help book. It doesn't come from other people. It comes from God and God alone. And if you want to have that access to God, then it comes through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is a subject that we oftentimes are scared of because it's a subject that we do not understand. But if wisdom comes from the Spirit of God, which is what Paul is saying in this verse, then I better understand and be in tune with the Spirit as much as I can. Does that make sense to you? But sometimes we're scared of that. So guess what? That's where we're going next week. So I'm not going to get into it right now. But if you're interested in knowing how we can gain wisdom through the Spirit of God, and you've had some questions about the Spirit of God, I've got all the answers. I don't, but I've got some things that may help you understand more of how the Spirit does work in our lives. And hopefully through this conversation, it'll make you more comfortable in dealing with the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is confusing, but He's powerful. Okay, continue. We have not received, verse 12, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words that were taught to us by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord, but he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Ultimately, Paul is speaking to the source of wisdom, and it's clear that through this scripture, wisdom, the source of all wisdom, comes from God. And it's vital that we understand all of these things. Listen, I'm going to say a word, and I want you to speak back the first word that comes to your mind. I know this is a dangerous game, but I want you to do it anyway. Ready? No, you're not ready. Did you understand? You want me to say it again slower? I'm going to say a word, and you're going to repeat the first word that comes to your mind. Are you ready? Here we go. Solomon. Hey, most of you said it. Somebody, I think, said a lot of wives. That was not what I was going for. I told you it was a dangerous game. No. Wisdom. He's wise. How many of you said wisdom or wise? That's what I thought. Okay, so a good portion of you. When you think of Solomon, oftentimes the first word that pops into our mind is wisdom. I did a test with Avery before this, and she nailed it. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do it with everybody. It'll be fun. Wisdom. You study Solomon and you know him, and the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of Solomon is wisdom. And where did that wisdom come from? It came from God. God was the provider of wisdom to the most wise man on planet Earth outside of Jesus Christ himself. And Solomon was so wise, I don't know if you remember, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 6, there's the Queen of Sheba, who has traveled across the globe because she's heard of the wisdom that Solomon has, and she wants to see it for herself. That's how wise he was. Royalty will travel to see Solomon's wisdom on display. And so 2 Chronicles 9 and verse 6 says, "But I did not believe what they said until I came and I saw it with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half the greatness of your wisdom was told to me. You have far exceeded the report that I had heard." She came and traveled because she had heard that he was wise. And when she got there, she was still blown away by his wisdom. If you go back and read through that story of the Queen of Sheba, you realize that she was coming to Solomon and she had a whole bunch of questions that she had prepared that she wanted to ask him. And I'm imagining that a lot of those questions were the most difficult to understand, the most troublesome questions that she could come up with. And yet she was so impressed by Solomon's answers and his wisdom on display that she came back and said, no, you far exceeded that report. And where, again, did that wisdom come from? It came from God. That's where wisdom starts. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, that says it a different way. Look, hang with me. I know this is a lot of information, a lot of saying the same points, but it's really important. This is why Christ has written this so often. He wants us to understand, if you want to have, and we call it street smarts, but it's the idea of applying the knowledge that you have. And we all want that this school year. It comes through God alone. It comes through your ability to follow him to wisdom, because he's the source. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 says, "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus." Who's the who there? Read the scripture again. Look back. "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus." Who? So who's the who? Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus has become for us what? Christ is literally our wisdom from God. That's how he says it. You want wisdom? Jesus is your wisdom. You want to be wise in this world? Then you get into Jesus. You clothe yourself with him through the waters of baptism. You engulf yourself into him more. So what? Because see, this is what I was worried about with this sermon. Because I feel it right now. And I think you feel it too, don't you? Well, this is good information, Nathan. But what does this have to do with me? And this is where it comes to. Here's the one thing that I want you to take away from this lesson. That's a bunch of information, but how can I apply that to my life? Because that's what wisdom is. Here it is. I want to go back to our scripture in 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want you to see this. Look at verse 7. This is Paul, and he's saying, we're not speaking from human wisdom. He says, no, verse 7, we speak God's what? Secret wisdom. And as I was reading through this text again, I started thinking, why is it secret? Why is it? And it says it's hidden. Why is it secret? Why is it hidden? What does that mean? And then I found this scripture. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. This is the last scripture. I know we've been all over the place this morning. But I want you to hear this application not from Nathan's words, but from Proverbs. By the way, who wrote Proverbs? Yeah. A lot of the Proverbs were written to his son. I think that's interesting. He's writing here, Proverbs chapter 2, starting in verse 1. He says, "My son, if you accept my words and you store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and you cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and you do what? You search for it." For what? Wisdom and understanding and insight. You search for it as you do for what? Hidden treasure. Isn't that interesting? "Then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He's a shield for those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones." Then, after what? Then, when you searched for it and found the hidden treasure, when you've sought after that wisdom, then you'll understand what's right, and you'll understand what's just, and you'll understand what's fair, and you'll understand every good path. For wisdom will enter into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. If you are struggling in your life because you're looking at situations and you feel like I have felt so many times, I don't know what to do here. There's someone that I love dear that I'm not going to get into right now. But I'll tell you the situation. And I feel like this has been on my heart. Because it's a really important thing. Listen, there are some of you who are sitting in this room right now who are either affected by this yourself, or you have people in your life that are struggling with this. One of the most difficult things I think that we face is when we have loved ones, or we have this voice inside ourselves that starts to say, you know what? I don't know if I want to live anymore. And I've dealt with that this week, and it's been on my heart, and I feel the need to talk with you for just a moment about suicide. Because it's a real thing. And it's a thing that we face, and there's no age that's immune to this. That's not something you grow out of. Oftentimes, as you continue to grow older, these thoughts enter your heart and they enter your mind. For many of you, you heard recently that Westover had an elder that had taken his own life. And can you imagine what that church is going through right now with losing a loved one? And many of you were affected by that. I've talked with somebody this week about the same thing. And it's in those moments, listen to me, where I start to say, God, I need your wisdom. Because I don't know what to say. And I don't know what to do. And I don't have all the right answers. And God, this was one of those moments where I was crying out and I said, God, I need your help. I need your presence. I need your spirit to speak to me. I need your word to be recalled to my mind. I need to know what to say and what not to say and how to say it and how not to say it. God, I need you. You see, we need his wisdom. And for those of you, by the way, can I just stop and say this separate from my lesson? Because there may be someone in here right now who's saying, yeah, that's me. And nobody knows it. I want you to know that your life is valuable. And you are loved. And you are redeemed. And you are a part of a holy priesthood. And the scripture says, for God so loved the world. Remember that? That he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him won't perish but will have everlasting life. But one thing I try to always make sure that you understand this morning is that the scripture would still be the same if you were the only person on this earth. Because God loves you so much that he gave his son for you. As an individual. And you look at yourself and say, but Nathan, I'm pointless, I'm meaningless, I'm no good. Paul looked at himself at one point and he says, oh, what a wretched man that I am. And some of you may be feeling that same thing, but it's in those moments where the wisdom of God needs to permeate in your soul to tell you and to remind you and to let you know that you are valuable and you are loved. And no, it's not because of anything that you've done. It's because of who you are. And you can't change the substance of who you are because God created you just the way you are. He knew your laugh before you ever were laughing. He knew your smile before you were ever a thought. He knew what you would look like, what you would talk like, what you would speak like. He knew who your friends would be. He knew the hurts that you would go through. And yet he still brought you here to this earth because he has a purpose for you. But it's in those moments where we deal with these kinds of real life situations, where we deal with hurts and pains and brokenness in our lives, that we need to search for the wisdom of God. That's why this is important. The knowledge is great, but how do I apply it? We come to church, we go to Sunday school. It's important. Keep going, keep learning. But keep searching for wisdom. Listen, it's hidden. Bring your shovel. He wants you to search for it. Wisdom is a reward that comes from search. You want to learn something? You dig for it. How many foolish people have posted things on Facebook or Instagram or different posts? And by the way, I can say this because I don't ever get on Facebook. So I'm safe. But how many people post things and they don't even know what they're talking about because they haven't researched it, because they haven't put the time in digging in to find the wisdom in the comment? How many things have I said in my life where, man, I didn't know what I was talking about, but I tried to act like I did, and now all of a sudden, I don't. You've got to search for that wisdom. I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what words to say. I don't know how to help this person in their hurt and their brokenness and in their pain. Then I need to get my shovel out. I need to begin to pray to the Spirit, begin to pray to my Father, begin to pray to Jesus as my Savior and say, give me wisdom, and I need to get out my Scripture and search for the answer. Wisdom's not going to come and just slap you upside the face. It's not just going to, you know, you ever seen those cartoons where all of a sudden a light bulb just comes on over the person? Oh, it just hit me. There are those aha moments. And for Solomon, that kind of happened, didn't it? Solomon prayed for wisdom and God granted it. And sometimes that will happen in your life. But more times than not, it's going to take you getting down on your knees, praying like you've never prayed before and searching like you've never searched before. It is a treasure, but it is hidden. So the question for you is, look, there's some things in your life. You've got the knowledge. You know what you need to do. You know you need to call and make that appointment, but you're scared to call. You know you need to say that phrase or that encouraging word or send that letter or say that thing to that person, but I just haven't done it yet. You know that you should be more attentive to your family, but work's just consume me, but I know that I need to put my family in front of my job, but it's so hard for me to figure out how to do that. You know all of these things, but maybe you've lacked the wisdom, the motivation to be able to apply that knowledge. Or for some of you, it may be the reverse. You know that you need to stop doing this. You need to stop sending that. You need to stop saying this. I've got to quit. I know this is divisive. I know this is hurtful. I know this is wrong. I know that I need to quit. I know that I shouldn't do this. I know it affects my health. I know it affects my family. I know it affects my God. I know it affects my wife. And yet, you haven't stopped yet. I heard a story. I'm going to end here. I could go on for a long time with this. But I heard of a some people that were talking about, they were talking about smoking. And so they were talking about how one fellow was a smoker and one wasn't. And they were both talking. And so the counselor looks at the guy who doesn't smoke and says, why don't you smoke? And he started to list all the reasons as to why smoking is harmful for you, right? And he says all these different things. And so, you know, it's bad for you, and secondhand smoke can affect other people, and you'll get lung cancer, and you'll get this, and you'll get that. And so then the counselor turned and looked to the other man and said, which one of those things do you not understand? He said, no, I know all those things. He said, so then what's the difference between you two? He said, the counselor said, it's because he believes those things more than you do. And that's what wisdom is. It's choosing to believe that these things are so true that I'm willing to act on the knowledge that I have. Knowledge is pointless until you apply it through wisdom. Does that make sense? If you want to see change in your life, it's going to take you searching for that wisdom to say, God, how can I do the next right thing? The wise and foolish builder, there's no difference in their knowledge. You're not, just because you're stuck in some kind of addiction or stuck in some kind of sin or stuck in some kind of negativity or stuck in life in general, it's not because you're stupid. It's not because you don't have enough knowledge. It's just because you need to learn how to act on that knowledge that you have, to apply it. I don't know if that's you, if something you've heard this morning, you're just saying, man, that's where I'm at. I'm struggling with this. I'm stuck here. Whatever it is in your life, maybe you've known the right thing to do for a long time, but you've been too scared to do it or too prideful to do it. I don't know where you are, but we're here to help you and to walk with you and to pray for you and to search for that wisdom with you. And so if there's anything that we can do for you, won't you come while together we stand and sing?